toward the end of this week's parsha in Parak Yudayin, we're introduced through the narrative of Abraham and family, we're introduced to the mitzvah of Bris Milah. In Parak Yudayin, Pasuk Yud, we are told, Zos Brisi Asher Tishmaru Beini Uveinechem, this will be the covenant that I will establish between you and me, Uvein Zaracha Acharecha, not just you, but your children, Himo Lechem Kol Zachar. What is the bris? That you will circumcise every male. And this is one of the psukim that, at least according to some Rishonim and Chazal, is quoted halachically as the source for the mitzvah of Bris Milah. Bris Milah is one of those mitzvahs which, not only as we will see shortly, has other psukim in our parsha, but it recurs in Parsha Tazria. There are other psukim, and in the Gemara, for those who were in our Gemara shir a few years ago on Shabbos, we saw that the Gemara discussing the different stages of the obligation, 8 days, what if there's no bris in 8 days, the boy himself when he's 13, what about in the interim if the father doesn't do it, maybe the bezdin has to do it, and each of those different chayuvim actually have different psukim. So, but nevertheless, this pasuk itself seems to be the main makor for the basic mitzvah, among others, the Sefer HaChinuch quotes as makor. Coincidentally enough, in our Tuesday night Menchas Chinuch shiur, we're holding by this mitzvah right now in the Sefer HaChinuch. And the reason that it's the second mitzvah in the Torah is because the Sefer HaChinuch is quoting a pasuk in the beginning. You know, if he was quoting a pasuk in Tazria, it wouldn't come for a while. It's because this is the pasuk. This is the source. And what I'd like to do, we've discussed Bris Milah in the past about various contexts. What I'd like to do this evening is to discuss a famous, or summarize and maybe give some ha'aruz to a very famous discussion implicitly in the Rishonim and explicitly in a number of very well-known achronim that really goes to the heart of the essence of the mitzvah of Bris Milah. And in order to do that, let's start with a well-known Gemara and Machlokas Rishonim in Masechta Shabbos. We know that in Masechta Shabbos we have the Perek Lezer of Demilah, because obviously another one of the important psukim, Yom HaShemini, that we know about Bris Milah, is that it is actually Docha Shabbos, even though it itself would be a Malacha, the Araisa, of Shochet, the Tzitzchah Shema. Nevertheless, we do have Bris Milah on Shabbos, and as a result, there's sugyas of Bris Milah in the Gemara Masechta Shabbos. One of those famous Gemaras discusses certain pieces of flesh that are known as the tzitzit. As I think I may have told you in another context, I am the son and grandson of Moalim on my father's side. But in this case, it's certainly true that those who cannot do, teach. And therefore, I love giving sugyas. I've written 2 articles on Bris Milah, but that's because I don't do it. But nevertheless, I don't know exactly where these tzitzin are. I assume a doctor and or a moel, certainly a from knowledgeable doctor and certainly a moel would know. But the Gemara says that there are 2 types of tzitzin, these extra types of skin. Some of the tzitzin are really not so extra. They're on the periphery, but they're not extra. They're part of the arla, they're part of the foreskin, and therefore, they're tzitzin ma'akvin. They're the ones that, without it, you're not yotzei. Then the Gemara says there's others which are a little bit beyond, which ideally, hiddur mitzvah, they should be circumcised, but if you didn't do it, these are the tzitzin she'enim akvin. They would not nullify or negate the Bris Milah. So in the context of the Gemara says the following statement. If you're just doing one fell swoop circumcision, so ideally you should take it all off. Let's say you did the actual cut, and you realize that you put the scalpel a little bit off, and you hadn't done the tzitzin. So the Gemara says, if you're still being osek in the Maisa Milah, then you go back, and you finish up the tzitzin, even the ones that are Einan Ma'akvin, for the Hiddur Mitzvah. But once you've already been parished, you've finished, you've removed the scalpel away, then from the body of the baby, and then you realize, oh no, I didn't finish. The Gemara says, it depends. If you didn't finish the tzitzin, which are part of the arla, then you have to go back. You'll say the mitzvah. But if you had finished the basic mitzvah, it's just a question of the hiddur mitzvah, says the Gemara, you don't go back. Now the Gemara, in making that distinction, is all it says. The Gemara does not tell us when it's talking about. So the question is, Misvara, one could make two arguments. You could say, since the Torah never tells us about a specific context or time period, it's always true. You could also assume, given the general context of the sugyas and the Masechta Shabbos, that it's specifically talking about Shabbos. The Gemara itself doesn't tell us. We're left to speculate, and the Rishonim, therefore, are left to debate. Rashi, when he's just touching up the Gemara, he just assumes that we're talking about Shabbos. And what's left for us to just fill in the gaps is, in essence, what Rashi was telling us is, listen, we have a counter pressure here. There's mitzvah, but there's also chilul Shabbos. So as long as you're fulfilling the mitzvah, so then that is doche Shabbos. But once you've stopped fulfilling the mitzvah, your parish, and you taka got all the tzitzin which would have been ma'akev, you fulfilled the mitzvah, so to just go back to do another malacha for hitter mitzvah, that will not be doche Shabbos. Okay. But the implications of Rashi are, that's only because we have the counter pressure of Shabbos. But if it would be Sheshes Yamim Tavod, any of the other 6 days a week, then there's no reason not to go back. Why not fulfill the hitter mitzvah? That's what Rashi pretty much says. And lehalacha lemaisa, the Turin Yoredei, Reish Samach Dalid, paskins this way explicitly. That the Gemara was only talking about Shabbos, it's a Shabbos shayla, but other days of the week, you would do the hitter. But makes certainly a lot of sense. However, the Rambam in Hilchos Milah is Perek Beis, both Hilchos Dalet and Vav, the Rambam famously disagrees. And the Rambam assumes that the stem of the Gemara, which does not tell you that it's talking about Shabbos, was deliberate and precise. Not ambiguous, but precise. Namely, because this is true all 7 days. You never go back for the tzitzin she'en ma'akvin, you never go back for the hitter mitzvah once you're poresh. Now, why not to do it on Shabbos? So that we already understand. But the Rambam does not explain for us to, left to figure out, why shouldn't you go back, according to the Rambam, on the other 6 days? Rashi and the Tur are very, very reasonable. Why wouldn't you go back for it? Again, if you didn't do it, you're Yotze, but you know, we're always looking. We're supposed to be ambitious. I still remember when I was, I don't know how old I was, but it was an issue of davening. I think it was so long ago. I think I was saying Tachlin in short sleeves. And there's a discussion that some hold that really you shouldn't, you're not supposed to do Nefilas HaPayim on your bare skin. So I did. So a rabbi in the community where I was living said something to me, and I shot back, you know, not probably knowing anything, but I just said, you know, well, it's not ma'akev, you know, I'm not. So he said to me, okay, but you should try to do things correctly. You should try to do things behitter. So I was reminded of that here. You know, okay, it's not ma'akev, but why wouldn't you want to do it behitter? Doesn't the tour make sense? Why would the Rambam take away, so to speak, this option from us? In fact, the Kesef Mishnah in his commentary on the Rambam and the Beis Yosef, both being authored by the same person, Yosef Karo, both asked that question. Just a simple Pashat Svara. Hayita, what's going on with the Rambam? Why wouldn't you do it? Why not? So, one answer, which is interesting, to show you that there is counter pressure beyond what you might have imagined, is the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer is Chidushim from Masechta Shabbos, says it's not just pshat that there's a counter pressure on Shabbos, Chol Shabbos versus Bris Milah. There's a counter pressure every time you do the Milah. What's that? Or an Isser Chavala. You're not allowed to hurt yourself. You're not allowed to hurt yourself. You're not allowed to create a wound. So it's only Mutter when it's a Chiyuv. And even the tzitzin she'ena ma'akvin, if they're part of a integrated ma'isa mitzvah, so then that's allowed also. But once I was already yotzei the mitzvah, we don't let you injure yourself for the sake of hitter. That's the Chasam Sofer's answer. However, a second answer or explanation, which is world famous, is that of the Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi discusses this in a tshuva, in Chelek Beis and Mem Zayin. In its time, it was well known. We'll see other Gedolei Acharonim even wrote, and at least with one I'll share with you shortly, who corresponded with the Beis Halevi about this. And it became particularly famous when the Beis Halevi's grandson, the Brisker Rav, quoted this in his Sefer on Hilchos Chanukah. because similarly there's a machlokas Rambam and Tur, and the Briskarov claimed that machlokas was a shitaso based on what the Zeta, the Beis Halevi had said in Hilchas Mila. Namely, what does the Beis Halevi say? The Beis Halevi tells us the Yesod, which I don't want to, we could digress, or we could focus the whole shir on this, getting into the Hanukkah and Lulav, and a hit or mitzvah shir would have to include Beis Halevi too, which is what it's really known for. I hope, hopefully, to argue that we could use this Beis Halevi for Hilchas Mila too. But the focus of the chiddush of the Beis Halevi is in Hilchas, really, is in both Bris Mila and in Hilchas Hiddur Mitzvah. It's more well known for the Hiddur Mitzvah Chiddush, but we're going to focus on the Bris Mila Chiddush. Says the Beis Halevi the following Hiddur Mitzvah Chiddush. You cannot have Hiddur Mitzvah divorced from a mitzvah. By definition, Hiddur Mitzvah is only meaningful if it's in the context of a mitzvah. Because what gives any, all these things are arbitrary or seemingly arbitrary rituals, taking mundane objects or other things, without the mitzvah, it's just a palm branch, it's just a citron. It's the mitzvah which infuses them with meaning. Once you don't have that mitzvah that gives it intrinsic meaning, the hiddur mitzvah is even less, it's nothing. Once you have the mitzvah, the hiddur mitzvah makes that even more beautiful. Without a mitzvah, so says the Beis Halevi, everyone agrees, he's convinced that that's true. And therefore, that's not the subject of my focus. That's just partial, that's the facts. So if that's just the chiddush, and again, whether other people really agree with that or not, that's a big hiddur mitzvah discussion. But suffice it to say, Beis Halevi says everyone has to agree to that. Elamai, the Rishonim are arguing about how do you define the contours or the limits of the mitzvah of Bris Mila. The Rambam holds simple. You know what the Bris Mila is? That's it. Do the mitzvah, the Ma'aseh Chaticha. You did the Bris. So while you're still holding by the Ma'aseh Chaticha, you're in the parsha of the mitzvah. Therefore, as long as you're still with the scalpel, do the hiddur mitzvah. Kavaldik. But once you've removed it from the baby, there's this invisible cha-ching that happened, which is primarily a good thing, especially if you're the father or the boy, namely you fulfill this great, important mitzvah d'araisa. But, it's a double-edged sword, namely that once you've done the cha-ching, mitzvah's over. Once mitzvah's over, whether it's 2 seconds later or 2 minutes later, it's meaningless to say I'm going to go back and, quote, clean up the hiddur mitzvah, because the mitzvah's over. So leave aside that according to the chassid sofer, all you're doing is chavola. But basically it doesn't go that far. He just says, but it's meaningless. It's meaningless.
It's not a continuation of the mitzvah.
Once you stop. Again, as long as you had the scalpel in your hand, so then even the Gemara says, and even the Rambam agrees to, even though you forgot, you can, fix it up. But once you stopped, then it's over. Then you can't go back. Now that's a very compelling argument, especially once you accept the Beis Halevi's thesis about Hiddur Mitzvah. So now, mamish, the shoe's on the other foot. We've come full circle. Now we really understand the Rambam. Now our kasha, so what's the Torah thinking? Says the Beis Halevi, without getting into too much arichus, says the Beis Halevi, the Torah assumes, in essence, that it's a mitzvah nimsheches. En chanami, you can only do Hiddur Mitzvah during the mitzvah. But Bris Mila is not, he says, like other mitzvahs, like lulav or something like that, which when you're doing the mitzvah, you're doing it, and then it's over. When you put down the lulav, it's over. Says Beis Halevi, once you've done the bris, the result of that is ongoing. And his raya is also from our parsha. He doesn't quote the pasuk we started with. He quotes the pasuk 3 psukim later. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Yimel Yolid Beischa, Ubit Nes Kaspacha, right? Abram's told the whole Mishpacha, even the slaves, etc. V'haisa Brisi, Bivsarchem Libris Olam. The Bris will be in the foreskin, in the body. Libris Olam. There's a permanent Bris on the body. Now that permanent Bris, well, the Maisa Bris, right? That's over in a second. A good mole, less than a second. But yet the Torah says, is Madaik the Beis Halevi, it's a Bris Olam, it's Bipsarchim forever. And the Beis Halevi says the Torah understood, not that just physically speaking, unless you're complete sadist, you can't undo it. But more than that, halachically, the mitzvah is ongoing. It's a mitzvah hanimshechet. It's a continual mitzvah. And ever since you're always holding in the mitzvah, so even according to the Beis Halevi's own criteria, it makes sense that the tour, presumably accepting it, still holds. You can come back and do Hiddur Mitzvah, unless you have a Hilchos Shabbos problem. But the other 6 days of the week, the Torah and Rashi said, why not go do the bris, why not go back and clean it up? Aye! You can only do Hiddur Mitzvah during the Mitzvah. Yeah, but the Mitzvah is Nemeshachas, it's still going on. Adkan, the Beis Halevi, yes. It is. But Lamaisa, what I'd be going back for is Hiddur Mitzvah. And what you see from the Gemara, says the Torah, is Hiddur Mitzvah is not Docha Shabbos. Also not Docha Shabbos, according to the Torah. That's also part. Again, the only thing that would matter, if you have, you need a chiyuv to overcome the wound issue and the Shabbos issue. Everyone agrees. That's not debatable. Let's not get confused. That's not debated. Everyone agrees, all Rishonim agree, that you would not go back on Shabbos. So, again, if you assume that it's hit or mitzvah, just like the regular mitzvah can trump the baby's wound, you know, just like in general, to give as a mashal, you know, Bal Tashchis. Bal Tashchis is only when there's nothing pro on the other side. Totally useless waste is Bal Tashchis. But if you're doing something good, and the Torah holds that doing something good is even hinder mitzvah, it's not nothing. That's the Beis Halevi's taich of the machlokas.
If I lit one day of Hanukkah, and all of a sudden I enter on the fifth night of Hanukkah, I find more oil before normal lights.
Big debate.
So Beis Halevi would say
big, and he doesn't talk about it at all. That's where you get into the Briska Rav, who's talking about Hanukkah, and the Briska Rav does not discuss your particular shayla, but other Achronim do. And if I will indulge me, I'll quote myself. See my sefer at Teres Yaakov. There's a whole essay on that. That's only for those who forget my Prabhashir of the 15 minion, where I discussed it then. I'm sure everyone here remembers that. But if you forgot that, and Taka, there are poskim who discuss it, and Enoch and Ami, that's exactly the issue. Some Achronim say, assuming that Hanukkah is like everything else, which is the Briskrov's assumption by applying his grandfather in Hanukkah, they exactly say, I think it's the Prima Godim and the Yerabah, say, it's impossible. Of course you wouldn't go back. Mehechatesi, you could have hit her without the mitzvah. And there were those, Prechadosh, I think, there were those who do tell you to go back. And even in some cases make a bruch on hitter. So that was a big shaila then, what's going on. And what I was suggesting in that sugya was that maybe, unlike the Briska Rav, I girded myself and took on the Briska Rav, that maybe Hanukkah is not like hitter of Kol Torah Kula. But you're right, if you assume that Hanukkah is just another example of hitter of Kol Torah Kula, then all of these things would have to be applied. Exactly. 100%. And there are shitas about all this stuff. Just to give you one other point, the Ramban, in one of his lesser known essays in the Ksavim called Emunah U'Bitachon, the Ramban says Befeirush, it's Meduyak, some Achronim quote in his Perash HaLaTorah, but I'm not as convinced, frankly, but it's a Befeirush in this other Makor in the Ramban that he also holds, it's a Mitzvah Nimsheches, and he has a big Chiddush, which is debatable, and I don't want to get sidetracked, but I'll just let you know. Ramban is bothered. Why, Taka, is it true that Mila is Docha Shabbos? We don't usually ask that kind of question, since there's a custom. But the Ramban is bothered. Why is Mila Docha Shabbos? And the Ramban's answer, out of nowhere, he pulls out this yesod. He says, because unlike Shabbos, which may last for 24 or misafek 25 hours, but Shabbos ends when Masa Shabbos comes. Bris Mila is a mitzvah hanim sheches. Bris Mila is an ongoing mitzvah, and that gives it its trump card to even, quote unquote, push off Shabbos. So leave aside the issue of being, you know, Docha Shabbos, which is not my topic tonight, but Lamaisi Yisiba Ferish at Ramban, like what we're suggesting from the Torah and Rashi also, that Mila is a mitzvah ha nimsheches. And I just want to reframe before we see one other thing, which is, in essence, to re-kind of package what we're saying, in this maybe more succinct, but I do believe accurate terms, in essence what we're discussing is something that, in general, and we'll see other areas now of Hilchos Mila, I think, where this will come to the fore, that we're basically saying something that a number of Achronim discuss, which is, what is the essence of the mitzvah of Bris Mila? Is it the Maisa of the Chaticha, or is it the result of that chaticha. And before I take any questions you may have, Alan, I just want to point out the following. And that is that I think there's two different ways of saying the result. In other words, let me just put it, I'll put it in a different frame even. We've spoken in the past, and this general methodology was very famous from Rav Soloveitchik and other areas, and that is that many mitzvahs, most mitzvahs you could argue even, there's a mitzvah that you have to do, and then you get your mitzvah points, you have your kiyum mitzvah. Many, if not most mitzvahs, that's all simultaneous. But you do have a model in halacha with numerous examples where it's not simultaneous. You do the mitzvah mitzvah, but the kiyum ha-mitzvah is sometime or somewhere else. Right? Classic example that Rav spoke about was tshuva. Vidwei b'peh is the ma'isa mitzvah, but it's the hirhur b'leiv, which is the kiyum. Identical, the Rav said about tefillah. Right? The ma'isa is the dibur of the words, but it's avodah she'b'leiv, it's a kiyum. As opposed to, for example, he said, like, lulav. You shake the lulav. What's the ma'isa mitzvah? Shaking the lulav. What's the kiyum mitzvah? Shaking the lulav. So the shaila is, when it comes to bris milah, the Rambam we're suggesting holds that it's all the same thing. What's the ma'isa mitzvah? Cutting the foreskin. What's the kiyum mitzvah? Cutting the foreskin. So when I cut it, it's over. If I be an oral, I'd be chai of course. Something which we're going to get to briefly, shortly, in a few moments anyway. But lamaisa, assuming that I did it, nothing fancy, nothing razzle dazzle. Mitzvah is what the Torah says it is, what the Shulchan Aruch says it is. Cut off the remove the foreskin. That's the mitzvah, period. Comes along the tour, Rashi and the Ramban, and says, no. The ma'isa mitzvah is clearly to cut the foreskin. Okay, that's obvious. But the kiyum ha-mitzvah is the result of that. Namely, that you are a mahul. I just want to point out that a variation of this is interesting. There's a whole essay that, or letter really, that Rav Itzalam Mipetzburg, Rav Yitzchak Blazer, and his Chuvas Pri Yitzchak. He's one of my favorite heroes because he was one of Rav Yisrael Salanter's Talmidim Muvhakim. He was one of the Gedolei Hador in Musar. But unlike the stereotype, which in many cases was actually true, he wasn't just a guy learning Mishnah Sharim all day. He was actually a Veltz Goyin. He was a real Talmud Chacham also. So he has Sefer Koch Vayora, which is his famous Musar Sefer, and he has Pri Yitzchak, which is Lam Deshe Halacha Sefer. So if you take a look in the Pri Yitzchak, Pchelik Beis Simen Lamed, he has a letter that he wrote to Rav Yoshe Ber of Slutsk. He writes to the Beis Halevi, I saw in your Sefer this Chiddush. And for it's a long piece, but the bottom line is he doesn't like all of it. But when he rejects it, you'll see it's not a wholesale rejection. What he says is, you know what he thinks the emes is? That bris milah is, it's not an idea of being mahul, it's an idea of being not arel. And as he focuses on the result, as opposed to the maisa, but instead of saying it in a chiyuvi, in a positive sense, it's in the shlili sense. It's, I'm not an arel. You'll say, what's the nafkamina? He thinks he has some nafkaminas.
Is that like
on the low? No, the kiyum is to not be an arel. The kiyum, it's a kiyum. Maybe you want to call it an isra'asei. Yeah, but we have that a lot. We have that often. Tashbisu may be that. I mean, there's all sorts of examples of that.
And Shabbos is not stopped. Shabbos is, it was a losa, so you should be. It shouldn't be done for Shabbos based on that law.
I mean that it's more urgent. You mean
right? Because Shabbos.
Because you're confused. I hear what you're saying, but it's because you're making a talk. You're confused. What's nimshechas? It's only nimshechas once you do it. Uh-huh. As what you're saying is, if I have only 24 hours to do something, and I have my whole life to do something else. You're right, but that's not true here, because it's only the mshachas once I do it. And again, as we're putting it now, it's the result that's the mshachas. It's the result of the mshachas. You hold like the Rambam, the Ma'isa Mitzvah is more finite. But if you look at the result, that's something that's more ongoing. And in fact, there's a famous Agadic Gemara, which I would have left, frankly. I mean, this just goes to show you that I'm just me. Because if it would be up to me, I don't know why anyone would be talking about this Gemara, because it's really Agadic. And yet, Achronim and even one Rishon, an obscure Rishon, but a Rishon, Taka used this Gemara in a halakhic context. And that is the Gemara in Masechta Menachos and Daf Mem Gimel, which speaks about David HaMelech, who went into the base of Merchatz and he's completely undressed. And they're talking about the tzidkus of David HaMelech, because he takes off his tefillin, he takes off his tzitzis, and he feels he's arum min mitzvahs. He's all depressed because he's not with mitzvahs anymore. Until he remembers his bris milah, and he feels better. That's the Gemara. Period. So the Marach Or Zarua, that's the son of the Or Zarua, was a Tshuva Sefer, Siman Yud Aleph, the Marach Or Zarua, as well as this Rav Itzala in the Pri Yitzchak, both quote this Gemara, and they say, what's going on? If Bris Mila is just this momentary thing, the Maisa Mitzvah, when it happens, but in your Yotzei, great Mitzvah points forever, wonderful, great, then what's he remembering? It's no different, as he was felt bad that I'm not holding by fulfilling any mitzvahs. So if all Bris Mila was, is something that I did once, Somali, I did it once 30 years ago. Somali, I did tefillin 8 hours ago. I'm not doing it now. And the clear gist of the Gemara is that David HaMelech was depressed because he wasn't actively doing any mitzvahs. Rather, again, already, Marach HaZeruah is medayik in this. You see that David HaMelech, you see from this Gemara, that no, the mitzvah of Mila is ongoing. It's Nimshechas. Never he remembered that no, even completely Arum in the Beis HaMerchatz. But I'm still fulfilling the mitzvah Kiyumis. I'm still fulfilling the mitzvah of Bris Milah, which only makes sense according to what we said from the Ramban. We were saying in the Tur and Rashi, as opposed to the Rambam, such a mahalik wouldn't make sense.
Is this a new mitzvah every day, or is one? I mean, do you get a new mitzvah every day from being
maybe? I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't think so. I think it's an ongoing mitzvah. You're constantly in performance of that one mitzvah, I think. That's what I would assume. I just don't want to point out Agav.
Is that the same concept?
I'm not sure. Maybe. Different topic. It's a good kasha, it's a different topic. Yeah. Yeah. You can. The audio is available online at the Menachas Milah Shir on Tuesday night. We discussed that. We're going to get the cards shortly. Before we do that, though, I just want to point out, I was always bothered by this, which is, if this is all true, this only makes sense according to Rishon. What about the Rambam? How did the Rambam learn the Gemara Menachos? And how would the Rambam learn the Gemara Menachos? If we are saying that the Rambam holds it's a Maisa Mitzvah, so what's going on with David? So it could be, first of all, there's other Perishim in the Gemara, and it could be that he held like what I would have thought, which is it's only Agadic, so give me a break. But it's interesting. So that there are those. I can't remember the Marsha, others who say all it means is that he remembered that he's an Eved Hashem by that, but it didn't necessarily mean that he was fulfilling a mitzvah. But that's a little bit dochik. Because it seems like from the Gemara that he really felt like he was fulfilling a mitzvah. But I just want to point out, I found just preparing this year. I mean, this Beis Halevi is, as I said, wasn't new. Not new to most of you. Wasn't new to me this year. But Fataka, what was new to me was not only a following Chiddush, but the existence of a sefer, namely that. Some of you may be familiar, there's a sefer, a serious one called the Chazon Yecheskel. Yecheskel Abramsky, actually a Talmud of Reb Chaim, great, great genius. He wrote it on the Tosefta. I think the story goes that when he was running away and he was in Russia, in Siberia, he had no svarim, Imam was a genius, he knew Tosefta by heart, he put all those lumbus into the Tosefta or something like that. I think that's the way the story goes. That's all I knew about. Turns out, there's a volume of Chazon Yecheskel on Shas. I didn't know. I just found it this week. It's a volume. Well, because he loves Tosefta. Yeah. That's true. Shalom is a Tosefta man. So, Lamaisa, in the Chazon Yecheskel on the Gemara in Shabbos, he was only a generation or two ago. He knew about this Beis Halevi, and he knew the Beis Halevi has this pshat in the Rambam that it's a Maisa Mitzvah. He was, I have to admit, I wouldn't, it's a whole thing a little surprising to me, but he was so bothered by the Gemara's kasha of David HaMelech that he therefore rejects the Beis Halevi. Mikoach zeh, he rejects the Beis Halevi. So I find Natalie a little bit strange, I admit. However, I want you to know, even though I wouldn't have done it from the Gemara Menachos, what he says, I was so happy, Baruch Shekivati, because for years I've had a little bit of a problem with the Beis Halevi, and I always wanted to say Knech a little bit different, but I didn't know if anyone ever said it. Baruch Shekivati, this is exactly Mikoach, his problem with the Gemara Menachos. He says a little bit different. He says, what's the real machlokas between the Tur and the Rambam? Not like the Beis Halevi said. Rather, he said, everyone agrees that it's Misa Hanam Shechas. David HaMelech's story proves it. Again, if you take that Gemara as a serious source, then it proves it. Again, unless you explain it away with other explanations of the Gemara. But he's willing to take the Marach or Zeruah's simple understanding of the Gemara. You see from that that David HaMelech felt that he was actively fulfilling the mitzvah. So he says, that's a bam raya. Case closed. Everyone has to admit Mikoach that Gemara. that it's a mitzvah nimsheches. It's a mitzvah nimsheches, and we have the beis halevi's yisod that you can only, you're allowed to do hiddur mitzvah as long as you're holding by a mitzvah. So if it's mitzvah nimsheches, why does the Rambam not let you do it? So he says beautifully, and I'm now much happier to be able to quote him as saying it, where I'm firmer footing. He says, you know what they're arguing about? The following. The Rambam holds that you can only do hiddur mitzvah as part of a maisa mitzvah. Enechanami, the kiyum ha-mitzvah is nimsheches forever. But there's only one maisa mitzvah, the chaticha. The Rambam holds that you can only do maisa, you can only do hiddur mitzvah while you're actively doing the mitzvah. You can add hiddur to it. But if you've already done the mitzvah, even if you're still doing a kiyum ongoing, this could be, but that's going to do with doing hiddur mitzvah. The Torah's chiddush is that even though you're done with the ma'aseh mitzvah, as long as you're holding by the kiyum, it still works. So leave aside, when I put it as Rav Chassid Abramsky is arguing based on even within Mila, because he's saying no one holds it's just the ma'aseh mitzvah, everyone holds it's this mitzvah and shechas. So I'm not going to quibble with that. It's right, it's wrong. We see that as machlokas. What I'm very happy about, though, is his reformulation of the hiddur mitzvah machlokas. Namely, even if we'll say the hiddur mitzvah needs to be in the context of a mitzvah, is that even if we're just in a kiyama mitzvah, or only if we're in a maisa mitzvah state? And my, you know, libi omer li, if that is the correct touch in the machlokas, that the Rambam is very firm ground, at least from Yisvara, because I think that's actually a more compelling position. But again, with Baruch Hashem, we can put Rav Chassid Abramsky's name behind all of that. And at least that is, so to speak, a wrap, if you will, on that part of the shiur. Yehei ma'ashe yehei, whether that's, let's assume we go with the Beis Halevi, which is certainly the most well-known, and if not completely, but mostly accepted mahalach. We have this sugya number one, a machlokas, about hiddur mitzvah, which we have suggested is ultimately based on a machlokas, a shorish, a deeper machlokas. What is mitzvah smila? Is it just a ma'isa ha-mitzvah of chaticha, or is it even this result of being a mohul, or perhaps just not being an RL? I want to spend, we have 10 minutes left, I'll just go through a few other sugyas in Hilchos Mila, where you see this machlokas echoed, and in a few of them, also machlokas in Rambam and Tur. So, for example, we discussed, it's been brought up, the issue of kares. You know, bris mila is one of the two mitzvahs I say, for which there's kares. Well, when do you get kares? When are you chayiv kares, I should say? So, the Rambam says explicitly in Perek Aleph of Chazmila Halacha Beis, the Rambam says if you die without having a bris, then you're chayiv in kares. Says the Ravid, I don't know what he's talking about. What do you mean if you die? Maybe you'll say, when I'm 8 days old, there's no kares, it's a katan. But certainly once the kid hits 13, he still doesn't have a bris. Every day he's chayiv in kares. If he'll get a bris, okay, then we'll, you know, take off the decree. But as long as he hasn't had a bris mila, he's chayiv in kares every single day. No. Whatever it is, when are you chayiv in it? Admittedly, we don't necessarily know what it is. I know that. But I'm saying, but the Rambam and the Ravid are not getting into that. Whatever it is, when are you chayiv? Says
it's
Rambam.
After you die. It's when you get kares. So as long as you're living.
No, who said?
You can't get kares while you're alive. You know, it's something that.
Again, it's not. We didn't say when are you punished.
It's hanging over you.
It's questions when are you chayiv? Says the Rambam, it's not hanging over you until you die without it. Then you'll apply said definition of kares after death. But the Rambam holds that until then you weren't even chayiv in it.
From bar mitzvah.
No, yeah, you're never chayiv in it until you die, without having had a bris. You have not fulfilled the mitzvah. That's true. But you're not chayiv kares, the punishment is not chal until you die without having a bris. Whereas the Ravid says, no, every day you don't have a bris. And sure enough, if you take a look in the Tur says, also like the Ravid, and again, similar to the bris, to the hiddur mitzvah, says the Tur, I don't understand. Just like the Ravid didn't, we don't know, what's the Rambam talking about? Why would you wait? Just like we thought it was surprising, why would Rambam wouldn't let you do the hiddur mitzvah? The Tur and the Ravid said, what's the Rambam saying? Why would you say that you're not chayiv kares until the end? So the Beis Yosef tries to fetch out a svara. He says, well, this is part of what makes bris mila so unique. And that is that the kares is not for something you did do, which is typical, but rather for something you didn't do. It's b'sheva al-tasa. So you read that Beis Yosef, then you think you missed something, so you read it again. Then you scratch your head and you say, I'll do it a third time. And you probably will reach the same result that most have done, which is, so what? How does that answer the question? But that, Lamaisa, that's he's stuck. He's stuck. So, comes into this lacuna is one of the great Achronim, one of my heroes and favorites, Rav Yosef Engel. And Rav Yosef Engel is more famous for a lot of his other Sfarim, but he has a two-volume set of tshuvas called Ben Parat, Papyrus. And Ben Parat Yosef. That's the allusion from the Pasuk. And Rav Yosef Engel has a long essay, tshuva, where he discusses this, and he wants to suggest, completely independent of the Beis Halevi, but Mamish, we get to the same place, that this Machlokas Rambam, and we'll call it Rive Tour, for us, the key now is also the Tour, so it's all based on the same Machlokas. Is Bris Mila just the Maisa, or is it the result? And I think I don't know if he's on the firmest of legs here standing, but I'll tell you the argument that he makes to make this point. He says the following: if you assume it's just the circumscribed, as opposed to circumcised, the circumscribed circumcision, that limited act of the Maisa Chaticha, so then he says, La Maisa, as long as you do it, you'll have done it, and therefore you wouldn't have been Chayiv Kares. And therefore, while it's true to anticipate what Myron had said before, it was a bitzel mitzvah until you did it, you're not going to get Matzah Yonah for that. But Lamaisa, as long as you did it, or as long as you could still do it, Alts Kares, nothing was lost. And therefore he says, the Rambam Lishitaso, the way we've understood it, holds that it's just the Maisa, and therefore, that's why he holds, as long as you do it at any point in your life, you're not going to have Kares. However, he says, if you hold it's the result, the Chalos of being Mahul, so that's something that we see by definition, that, assuming you did it in 8 days or whatever, that will be ongoing. Right? By definition, the whole chiddush of that approach, it's nimsheches, it's ongoing. It's not something that's limited and defined. And therefore, just like if you fulfill the mitzvah, your kiyum would be ongoing, so too, regretfully, the result of you not having done it is also stretched back. And therefore, he says, by definition, if you hold up the totsah approach, it's for your benefit, quote-unquote, more elastic, more flexible, you're always getting a kiyum forever. But as a result, you're also, by definition, can never make up that time. You would have been always getting a kiyum. In other words, the maisa, the only difference if I got a bris mila on the eighth day or some other time is when I did that split second thing I have to do. So, okay, it would have been better to do it on time. Let it not be said that Rabbi Galev encouraged not doing the bris on the eighth day. Of course it's better to do it on the right time. However, that's all it is, says the progressive angle. But if you hold it to smitzvah hanim sheches, so then it's much more than that. Just like its kiyum is more elastic, more flexible, so too, I would have been yotzei mitzvah every single day after the eighth day. Which means that in retrospect, every day I didn't do it, I wasn't fulfilling that kiyum. And apparently the non-fulfillment of the kiyum of bris milah, he says, is kares. And just to show you how firm some people felt about this, the kovna rab, the Dvar Avram, in the beginning of his Chelik Beis of the Tshuva Dvar Avram, Kavna Rav says, why say every day? Every second! Kol rega barega! He wasn't medayik. I wouldn't have read it so literally, but he was medayik in the Ravid that at the end of each day, did you have a bris? No, I have kares. But the first 23 hours or so of each day, you're not have kares yet today. Oh, at the end of the day, and then he says, no, why wait till the end of the day to decide who's chayav kares? It's every second. It's not cars. That's just, I thought, an interesting aside.
This kind of would not apply by Dilish Vadishma.
What are you talking about?
What the doctor didn't deal without that. He's not real before.
Yes, so therefore, we have.
So we have to wait for top down bridge, right? So that gives you the result.
You're assuming lots of things which we haven't even discussed. So you may or may not be right, but that's, we haven't discussed that at all. Although we will, if I have a time, try to discuss that stuff in a second. In fact, we have a few other napkin minutes I could share with you, but I'm not going to have time to do all of them, but I will tell you at least one more, because it's also a Shitas HaRambam. And that is the question of someone who's no lad mohul. The Gemara, I don't know how often this is a medical reality. Joel, is this?
Occasional.
Is it occasional?
I know.
You don't have one? Is he a Gadol now?
No, he's
playing old Joe?
He's one of the Rabbeim in the province. His son was not mohul.
Okay. Anyway, well, Moshe Rabbeinu, they say it was all right. Anyway, Tzidkus, anyway, whatever. Lemaisa, if it happens, the Rambam, it's not so posher what the halacha is. The Rambam paskins that he needs Hatzafas Damris. However, the Rambam also paskins that in, if it would be a Kohen, even pre-Hatafa, the baby could be fed Truma, or be Sach B'Shem and Shel Truma. The Shaila that all the Achronim go crazy on is how could the Rambam, if Chora the Rambam is a Stira? Because the Rambam himself, of Halacha earlier, says an Arel, a Kohen Arel, cannot eat Truma. And the Rambam said that you need Hatafa Zambris, as the Menchas Chinuch says, Mistama, that means that the baby's an Arel until he has his Hatafa. So how come the Rambam says you're allowed to eat Truma? So, the answer that's popular in the Achronim is as follows. Why does a person who's Nolan Mohel need Hatafa? We paskin that way. Why? So one possibility is that the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, Kaflama Dalid, quotes a shita that holds, Sofek Erla Kavusha. When we say that a person is born without an Erla, what does that mean? Does that really mean there was no Erla? Or maybe, again, I don't know the medical basis of this, but the Gemara says maybe there really is an Erla, but somehow it's mushed up or it's somehow covered by other skin. If we knew it for sure, we would talk, of course, to a bris. If we're not sure, we don't see it, Suffolk or the Kavusha, so just to be safe, we do the Hatafas Dambris. That's one of the shitas in the Gemara. If that would be the case, then the Rambam's psak would really be hard to see. Because basically what we're saying is Suffolk, the person's an RL. Suffolk, the person's an RL. How would you let him have Truma? However, they point out that there's another source, not in the Bavli, but in the Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi there says, actually by quoting the Pasuk of Himol Yimol, that there's a separate kiyum based on Himol Yimol requiring a Nolad Mohel to have Hatafa. What do you see from this? And this is in a number of Sforim, the Primosha, for example, and others point this out. If that's correct, that the Rambam sources the Yerushalmi, what you see from that Yerushalmi is, even if it's something you do a Safak Arla Kavusha, there may not even be a doubt. This kid was born without an Arl, an Arla, and therefore by definition he cannot be an Arl. He's not an Arl. He doesn't have an Arl. How could he be an Arl? And yet, the Yerushalmi, paskins, you still need a Tafas Dabris, Himol Yimol. What do you see from that Zerus HaKosov? Apparently, there's a requirement, a mitzvah of Mila requires, we can't do Maiz Chaticha, we're not going to maim him, but HaTafas Dabris here constitutes the Maiz Chaticha. You need that, even if it's not changing his status, because he was already a Mohol, he wasn't an RL. Oh, what would that show? Again, it is the Rambam Lashitaso, again, that typically you get the result also, but that's not the mitzvah. And the greatest crystallization, raya for that, is that the Rambam would still require the Maisa, even though he admits that the kid's not an RL. Haraya, he lets him eat Truma, and Truma's just a din in the status of RL. I think that works very, very beautifully. And just to make it really look nice, the tour. Wouldn't you know it, not directly arguing, but there's indications of a different perspective from the tour. Why? Because do you make a bracha on Hatafas Dambris or not? So the tour paskins only if you know there's an Arla Kavusha. But if there's a Suffolk Arla Kavusha, you wouldn't. What do you see from that? That he clearly sees that the whole thing is based on Suffolk, that the kid's really an RL. Which is, again, as we've just now described, completely different than the Rambam's approach. But it would be Lishitasa, what we've seen now twice, and this will be the third time, of the tour holding that it's all about the status. Is he an RL or is he a Mohol? As opposed to the Rambam, we've seen now three times, it's not about that, even though of course that happens, it's the Maisa Chaticha itself. I just want to leave you, it's late, but I want to leave you with two things just because they're so interesting. Number one is there's a Shaila in Poskim once it became relevant about anesthesia. Let's say full anesthesia for sure. Or in Poskim before that, what if somebody was sleeping, right? Someone's scared, they're an adult, they hit 13, they're 15, oh my God, I'm Jewish, kind of a bris mila, I never had one. So you know what? You sleep. We'll surprise you. While you're sleeping, leave aside the lack of recommendation, why that would not be recommended on many other human levels. Halakhically, would it work or not? Which is the equivalent of if the person was medically sleeping in anesthesia. One not going to be, you know, he's not going to wake up. But other than that, they're basically both sleeping. So there's a discussion in Poskim. Just as an agav, I want to point out to you, without paskining it, the Marsham says, that's totally on our Shaila. If you hold that it's just a Maisa, so the Maisa may need Tavana, the person needs to be awake. But if you hold that it's a Totsa, that result will be ongoing. And lobbed after the person, you need Kavana. I don't even know if he goes that far. I think he just says we don't care. As the result is mamela. You don't necessarily need korban. That's just an interesting aside. But the last thing I want to tell you about is an astonishing machlokes, which I saw a psak from Rav Asher Weiss, where he was willing to take a stand on this in the more mechudash approach. What if you have a case, the Chachmas Adam quotes this, where you have a moel, and why a moel will do this intentionally, other than the medical case, I'll tell you eventually, but in a minute. But Lamai said, the case is, what if the moel he barely took away the foreskin? Maybe he did a Mais Chaticha, but not a sufficient one. But then, he pushed down and back the foreskin, so that it kind of grew into the rest of the skin, it pushed it away. By doing that, he revealed the Atara. And then he did the Priya, he did the Ora Priya, he removed the inner membrane as well. Are you Yotze Bris Milah with that or not? Says the Chachmas Adam, are you kidding me? Of course not. There's a certain amount of skin which is called the Arla, Tzitzin Ma'akvin. You gotta do a Ma'is Chaticha, just pushing it out of the way? What are you talking about? However, I would think, right? Comes along the Sanzerov, the Divrei Chaim, and is so convinced that the Chachmas Adam is wrong, and that you are Yotzei Milah, he says any Moel who goes back to finish the job with the scalpel is Chayiv Mishum Chavala. And just so you should know, Joel, or actually both of you would probably know, the name of the procedure, the name of the Nebuch, the condition of a child, or the hole is on the side. Is on the side, not on, like, I shouldn't have just assumed the doctors. Myra knows also. So in that case, Rav Asher Weiss described, I don't know what the typical treatment of this is, but the way Rav Asher Weiss described it is, they, for the reconstructive surgery that they would need, they needed to keep some of that, the skin of the foreskin. And therefore they asked Rav Asher Weiss, Shaila, can they do this? Just do a little bit, do the Priya, and then save the foreskin for later. Or would you be consigning that child, according to the Ravid in the tour, to being Chayiv Karis at that moment? So Rav Asher Weiss Paskin based on the Devar Chaim. He says, Taka, yes, you should do it, you could do it, and you should do it. The only knech he adds is that he thinks that even according to the Devar Chaim, it just means you're no longer Chayiv Karis. He's not convinced that the Devar Chaim thinks you fulfilled the mitzvah. No, but again, you pushed it all away. You know, but he holds you. No, but he again, the way he's describing it, and he says you're no longer Chayiv Karis. You remove, you're not an Arul anymore. Again, this last point is not the Rechaim. This is very creative, and maybe too creative by half of Rav Asher Weiss. He wants that you can no longer be an Arul even though you fulfill the mitzvah, and that's his shot in the Rechaim. If I'm not mistaken, let me finish, please. If I'm not mistaken, the Divrei Chaim himself doesn't necessarily say that, and I think it's generally assumed the Divrei Chaim felt even further, bigger chiddush. He fulfilled the mitzvah that way. But Ma'isa the Nafka Mina being that Rav Asher Weiss told him not to make a bracha. B'shas Ma'isa. But the bottom line was he did paskin that way, and he thought this Divrei Chaim is a smach. The bottom line is I wanted to just suggest maybe, but that Efshar, that this machlokes Chachmas Adam and the Rechaim is also based on our Chakira, namely that maybe the Chachmas Adam holds that you need a Maisa Chaticha, and here you didn't do a sufficient Maisa Chaticha, you just pushed the skin back. But if you hold, like the Divrei Chaim holds, that what is the mitzvah? The mitzvah is just the result of being Gilui HaTara, which is usually the way we define as being a mohul. So here, even though I didn't do a circumcision in the cutting sense, but I was got the same result anyway. I was Magal HaTara. Maybe that's the machlok. It's just likely more complicated than that, but at least as a framework, that may be also relevant. All right. Good Shabbos, and it's good to be back. See you next week. Bring a friend.